Hello, it's Pastor Rod here. I'm a pastor in Japan, and we have churches also in other parts of Asia. We're going to do a new series on treasures in the Greek New Testament. Now, I've always been a fan of culture and language. I've learned, I studied linguistics, and then Indonesian, and Thai, and Japanese, and been a fan of New Testament Greek for well over 15, 20 years. Just a fan of I've had the chance to go and study in Rome and other places. Just a love for the New Testament. Now, we're going to do a series that's going to be understanding and devotional. This is not about learning Greek. This is not about learning Greek. It's about understanding New Testament words and then devotionally connecting with those words as well. So here we go. We're going to talk about the word logos. Very, very famous verse in John chapter 1 as we open up the great gospel here. And in this first verse, John just uses this word. He just loves it. He's just going to lay it out there that Jesus is the Logos. It says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And so straight away, John says, hey, I want to introduce you to Jesus called Logos. Now, when he uses this word, it's a word that's in the Greek Old Testament. It's used 1,200 times. 1,200 times. It's a major Old Testament word in the Greek. And often when you read, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah or whoever the prophet is, or God's word, it's the word Logos in the Greek. So this word was used in Jesus' day, very, very broadly in the Bible that Jesus quoted from as well, the Septuagint, and 1,200 times. New Testament, this word is used 350 times, making it one of the most high-frequency words. So why was this word logos used? And I've got some really good things to share with you, because when John used the word logos, he was speaking to three groups of people. The Greek world who did not know Jesus, the Jewish world that were waiting for the Messiah, and now the new believers or followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus' world that we call Christians today. In this one word, it related to the whole world. It's an incredible use of a metaphor to describe incredible things. So in the Old Testament, this word is used so many times. The word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came. So when we get to the New Testament, the Greeks that read, they would have been interested in this word, because this word was used by the Greek Heraclitus and Aristotle and others to describe the wisdom, the foundational background, pattern, the creator of the world, although they didn't know Jesus and they didn't know the Jewish God Yahweh. But they were trying to describe the wisdom that created the world, what we call around the world today deism, or some belief in the patterns of a creator. Very interesting. So when John starts to relate to, hey, he's come, this wisdom, this creator has come, his name is Jesus, it would have been very interesting for the Greek world where Paul and others were going to share the gospel. For the Jewish world, there was a guy called Philo from northern Egypt, Alexandria. He used this very, very many times, talking about Messiah coming, or the imminent, you know, arrival of Messiah, or the one that holds everything together, the Logos. So the Jewish world, who spoke Greek, which was most of the Jewish world as well at that time, especially in Alexandria and Antioch and many other places, the Jewish world understood this word meant the creator who was actually going to come. So when John just explodes to us believers, and this is where we move now to the devotional, he really does just lay out this incredible picture of the creator, the one who holds things together, the divine communicator, the amazing God, the Messiah. His name is Jesus. And so John is saying here, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word was God. Did Jesus, Did they proclaim Jesus to be Messiah? Yes. Did they proclaim him to be God? Yes. The New Testament writers did say these things. And in verse 14, it says, this word, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus becoming flesh through the womb of Mary. This supernatural birth, this virgin birth, this word now, the word just becomes into our world. What an incredible thing. And just one last scripture here where John here just proclaims it is Jesus. It says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. First time John mentions Jesus Christ in chapter one. Now, this word, here we go, has got a few meanings. The first one is Jesus. He is the Logos, the creator, the holder of things together. And actually, way back in John 1:3, it says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing that was made was made. In him was life, and the life of the light of men. So proclamation that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the stuff of the wisdom, which we read in Proverbs and we read right through the Bible. Jesus is our creator, communicator, wisdom. Okay, number two, it speaks of Logos as the whole Word of God, the revelation of God written down for us in the Word of God. And I just got a couple of notes here on this that I just want to come to. It's just really important that we understand and get this stuff. So the second one is the Word of God. I've just lost my notes here. Here we go. The Bible, Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is alive and active. Logos. For the Word of God is alive and active. Speaking of God's written word to us, the Bible, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This word, I love the supernatural. That God has given us an artifact on the earth. It's called the Bible, written by lots of different people, different times, but the same theme. It's supernatural. It's alive and active. 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God, Logos of God. We've been born again through the living and enduring Word of God, the promise of salvation through God's Word, that we can be firm and understanding. So the Logos is Jesus. The Logos is God's Word, Old Testament, New Testament. The third one is the Word of God is when Jesus releases his power into a situation. And it says in Luke 7:7 that there was a centurion that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, please, please heal my servant. Pretty amazing for a Roman centurion. What language would they have been speaking? Greek. The Romans spoke Greek right through the empire. And so came to Jesus and said, please heal. And Jesus said, I'll come. And then this guy says this. It's pretty amazing. He says, you don't have to come to my house, but just say the word. Just say the Logos, and my servant will be healed. The sick servant will be healed. Just say the word, and it will happen. So this is establishing Jesus' words as supernatural. When he speaks, when Jesus speaks, the Word of God speaks, and things happen. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And he went away, and it says, and his servant had been healed from that very moment. Right, there was a proclamation, and I think sometimes we need to get God's word into our hearts, which I'm going to talk about next, the next one of these I do, when we talk about the word rhema. That's for next time. But Jesus here speaks, just say the Logos, just say the Logos, and my servant will be healed. Now, in Romans 4:17, it doesn't use the word Logos, but it's talking about God, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. Ramping back to John 1:3, nothing was made except through Jesus. And right back in Genesis, it says God spoke and it was. That's Jesus being the creator. So we'd see this linkage of the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in all of this wonderful stuff. Now, so the Word of God is Jesus. It's the Word of God. It's when God speaks a word that has to happen. And the last one is it's a simple spoken word which humans use. It's a word. It's a word. I'm speaking words. But it's words that we need to understand. And here I believe it also gets devotional for us because we need to understand the power of the spoken word. Our words are important. Telling the truth is important. And telling lies is very bad. There's just no way getting around this. The whole New Testament speaks of the words that we speak. We can't speak with two different, you know, forked tongue or hot and cold. Or it says, you know, we can't have salty and clean water together. The word in us has to be clean. Now, I believe that truth-telling, telling the truth, is one of the most powerful discipleship tools possible. When we tell the truth, it releases something. And I just think it's really important in our relationships, our marriage, our parenting, our leadership, our jobs, that we learn to tell the truth. And I was challenged as a very young Christian of, you know, don't be a liar, be a truth teller, because it releases something powerful. So our words, our logos, not that our logos is anywhere near God's logos, but our logos, our words, has power. And I believe that we need to be speaking the right thing. We need to be speaking God's goodness. The Lord's Prayer is awesome. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're speaking out God's word over our lives and our families. I think it's really a habit we need to get into. Read the word, speak the word, speak it over our environment. If it's God's word, it's just powerful. But I really believe that we need to be set free. I just want to finish with a little story. Before I was a pastor, I was a salesman. My first sales job, I was a Christian at that time. And my boss asked me to lie about the delivery date of our products to a client. And I knew this was a problem, both because it's a lie, but also I'm going to let these clients down and they'll never order again. So I said to my boss, I can't do that because they have a conference and they need these products for their conference. And if we deliver after their conference, they will never order from us again. And it was a big order. And I said, you know, I can't lie. And he said, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, let's do a test. Let's see what happens if I tell the truth. And he went back and said, oh, okay. So I went and told the truth to that company. They canceled the order, which they should have. They canceled the order. And I went and told the boss and he went, you know, you're telling the truth didn't work. And a few months later, that company rang our company to place the largest order they'd ever placed. And other salesmen wanted it, but they said, no, we want to speak to Rod Plummer because we trust him. We trust his word. And so I went out there and signed the biggest deal. And I walked in with I'm on good terms with the boss. I walked in and put the order paper on his table and said, have a look at that, sir. He looked at it and he went, okay, you can go now. And there was just this agreement. And so telling the truth doesn't always work now, but I believe it's an eternal thing for us to understand. Our words are very important. So finishing up, here we go. Our first one, logos, the word. It's so powerful. God's word, Jesus, God's word, God's spoken word, and God's revealed word, God's a Bible, and then we've got to link our words with God's word. Let me pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this amazing time, and I pray we decide to speak your words, speak the right words, speak truthful words, and we'd give honor to Jesus, the Logos, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you enjoyed today's episode with Pastor Rod, why don't you subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to this, and we'll see you next time.